people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
So, hey, this is Shift and Steer. You can always tell when it's Friday, the last day of SEMA. Number one.
We're all crispy.
Yeah, all of our voices are fried. Jimmy Shine's hanging around the stage again trying to get on the show. You know how that happens. Hey, I'm Brad Fanshawe. You're listening to Shift and Steer live from SEMA 2017. And with me today are the guys that make me sound good. Matt the Motor.
Hey, good morning.
And Aaron Hagar.
Yep, I'm crunchy too, man.
Yeah. But we had
good morning.
Fun
Whatever,
last
I'm
night,
fine.
But you know what? We've got great guests lined up today. Up here with us on the stage right now, three-time Top Fuel world champion, Larry Dixon.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, LD?
Doing well.
And you know what? Coming up later on the show is Jimmy Shine. He stuck around long enough that we're going to throw him up here in just a little bit.
Why not?
Just a little bit. Don't come up here yet. So, anyways, hey, guys, let's reflect on the week and last night. I mean, last night.
Not enough time.
Rocked.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll start with this. We're here live in the MagnaFlow booth, and last night at the big gala event, MagnaFlow won Manufacturer of the Year. There's like 91,000 manufacturers in this industry, and they all compete, and MagnaFlow, probably because we were here in this booth.
I was just going to say, see what happens when you have Shift and Steer.
Like, they weren't
Sell
even
it.
In the running.
Sell it.
They weren't even in the running yesterday morning, and now they're crushing it. They're a Manufacturer of the Year. So congratulations, MagnaFlow.
Right.
Yeah,
big
way
congrats.
Way to go.
That's awesome.
Way to go on choosing Shift and Steer to be here just to kind of clinch the deal.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, last night, let's just get it on the table because our buddy Pete, we've talked about it. You know, such a big part of Shift and Steer. We love that man, you know, and he was so cool. And he's no longer with us, but he was there in spirit last night because that concert that he wanted to see happen so bad, it happened.
Yep.
And, you know, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, Michael Anthony from Van Halen and Chickenfoot, Jimmy Vaughn and the Tilt-A-Whirl Band, they came out and in tribute to the man himself, they rocked the house. What'd you guys think?
I thought it was fantastic. And Billy said really nice things about Pete. And like you said, he said he had this plan in motion, you know, 2 years ago. And Brett, you know, thank you for putting the team together and helping pushing that whole thing through. I mean, we wouldn't have had that concert either if you didn't follow up on what Pete was doing.
Yeah, so. But, you know, we did it for him. And now I think just because of all that, I think what's happening is I'm starting to sound like Billy Gibbons. Yeah. Getting a little bit of that Billy Gibbons in me, man.
Brad's going to start just breathing in the microphone.
Yeah. How.
It was a great show.
A great job.
It was a really great show.
You know what? I think that's what made it all the better was the fact that the musicians came. They're pros, man. They come and they do a show. But it was in their hearts. I mean, they were there for a reason, and that was so cool. And
where'd you get that shirt? That's the same shirt Mikey was wearing last night.
Are you kidding me? I stole it off him after the concert.
I bet it smells.
Show's over. I need that shirt back.
He threw it off the stage.
Yeah.
Brad caught it.
Well, Brad is his number one fan. So.
No, that was so cool because Mikey was up there in his Bond Speed Wheel shirt and rocking it, and we dug it, and then we all sat together. We had our big Shift Steer, Man Seeks Adventure, Mikey Anthony table. That was cool. And
that's a big event, by the way. There must be 2,000 seats in there. I'm not quite sure if they filled everything, but, you know, it's a long event, so, you know, some people kind of wean off toward the end of the night. But
I had to do two panoramas to get the whole thing.
There must be 1,500, maybe 2,000.
Well, you take, there's 10 to 12 people at every table, and there's like almost 300 tables.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you do the math.
I'm not good at math.
Well, that's why I said you do the math.
That's like 140, right?
Yeah. So
that's like 50 people, dude.
Yeah. I'm out of fingers.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
come on, Larry. Know. You're the numbers man. You know it.
Yeah. This is the wrong trade conference.
So we want to get to Larry.
Yeah, by the way.
A whole bunch.
A whole bunch. Now you brought your buddy from CarCast. Chris
Laxamana, and he's, you know, he's such a music fan, and he's got a great band, and in his office at Corolla Digital, he's got a guitar hanging there, and every musician that's ever gone through there, I think Billy and Michael and everybody signed that guitar, and it's standing in there, so
They've signed it really, really small.
And by the way, he's really good. Yeah, he's really
good.
Yeah,
cool. He is. He's got a cool voice.
He just kept saying, he's like, yeah. I don't need a seat. I don't need to eat dinner. Just get me in. I'll stand in the back. I just want to see the band.
He got the full treatment. We even took him backstage afterwards, and he had a big smile.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah,
he's a cool kid. Man.
I think he's still in sleep.
He's the only millennial that
I
like.
So I want to take it. I want to double up on it right now. Yeah. Okay, so to speak, because Larry's here at SEMA, and he's not. Now, Larry, you swore me to secrecy, what, like a year and a half ago when you first showed me this idea?
Yeah, you actually helped, because I'm not a Photoshop guy, but actually, you know, like doctor up a rendering, you know, we built a two-seat top fuel dragster.
Dude, that is so awesome. We were all like fighting
tandem,
for first.
Though, like
first tries.
Like one behind the other.
Yeah. In line, the car, because for me, it's, you know, like, it's one thing taking a person for a ride, but the car has to look badass. The cool factor, so people want to do this, you know?
Yeah.
So, we've literally been working on it for a real long time, made sure that the design of the chassis was good and safe before we, you know, pulled the trigger on. Made sure we could actually get insurance.
Yeah. I was joking about that the other day. Yeah.
And kept running
brilliant.
out of things to stop us, so it was finally we pulled the trigger and actually took delivery of the chassis right after PRI last year, and then put it together, did one test in March with the car, and everything went really well with it. First couple
do you have like a crash dummy as the second person?
The first
yeah, his name's Nick.
The first couple runs we used sandbags
and
we named her Sandy.
Yeah, okay.
You know, just so we get the weight and all that stuff, you know, so we you know, it'd be a real test. So did that, it was good. So we threw Nick in the back seat and we went in the carpool lane.
When you're going to get the insurance policy for this, does the insurance company go watch your YouTube videos of you spinning around? And
and they, yeah, the fact that I'm still on the other end of the phone talking to them, they're like, but that was the thing that, you know.
You want to do what?
It wasn't pilot.
Who's going to drive?
One of the things that the insurance, you know, and I'm good with, you know, running the car to the eighth mile and you're not in competition, so there's not another car in the lane. So that really made it helpful as far as.
Interesting.
So what's the next step? When's the program start to maybe do the ride alongs, and where is that going to happen?
Well, it's great that you asked that.
Starting at your house on Sunday.
Tee it up. No, well, you know, we debuted the car here this week, and Traxxas actually, you know, we came in and they're actually running a contest to give up, you know, Pete, you can just sign up at Traxxas.com or here at the booth. They've got kiosks set up. You can sign up for a free ride, but they're running a contest, give away a free ride. So the car's over there. We got it on display, and it's been quite a deal. So we're going to end up – that contest will run for the year. They'll do it, like, you know, next October. You know, fly the person in, put them up in the hotels, and – you know, put them in the car if they're not scared, and we'll go for.
Well, they'll be scared regardless.
You know what's funny talking about that is I was talking to the guys and gals at Roadkill about the two seater, and they brought up Tommy Ivo, you know, which TV Tommy Ivo forever.
Yeah.
He had a two seat car back in the '60s, and he would give people rides for it. And what he would tell the riders, and this is being told to me by the Roadkill guys, is that they had a button in there for the passenger, you know, and it's like, you know, if you get scared or something like that, just hit that button and then it'll like shut it all down. They're like, okay. So, but the button just ran to a light on top of the roll cage. So everybody in the world knew whether you were a wuss or not. And it didn't shut the car off. They just kept going.
Awesome.
That sounds like something you need to institute.
I'm like, oh, I'd like that.
Yeah, we got to steal that
idea.
But I mean, going back a little bit, and it's funny because you mentioned the Photoshop thing. I completely forgot about that. So he calls me like 2 years ago, and he goes, Brad, I got this idea. Now, you can't tell anybody, man, but...
And Brad texted me right away,
and then
I tweeted it. It was fine.
Well, he obviously didn't tell me because he doesn't know Photoshop. I do.
So we're talking, and I go, you want to do what? And he goes, oh, dude, we're, you know, it's going to be. And I go, okay, is it side by side or what? And he goes, no, in line. They're going to sit behind me like a co-pilot in a jet. And I'm like, okay, I got it. And I said, now you're going to detune this thing, right? And he goes, hell no, man. We're going fast. We want to give him a time slip that is for real. And then wow. So, you know, Rick at my office, because yeah. he says he talked to Brad and Brad Photoshop. No, Brad didn't Photoshop.
Yeah, Rick's,
Brad has
Rick's
Rick.
Amazing.
Rick. Yeah. And yeah. Rick made this Photoshop.
He's
it looked
amazing.
Damn real, man. Oh. It was awesome.
It was great. And really, there's kind of a pride to what driving a Top Fuel car and being a drag racer. It's got to be a real Top Fuel car, and it's got to haul ass.
Yeah.
You know that. You know the car has 870 60 foot times. You know, like 0.8 of a second 60 foot. So jeez. I mean, it's going 100 mile an hour that fast, it hauls the mail. I mean, it's a blast, and the other side of it, you know, they got the two seater experiences in Formula One and mm-hmm. NASCAR and IndyCar. The IndyCar experience, the guys over there have been a tremendous help. On and off about, you know, doing something like this. You know, a lot yeah. of the growing pains that and this is a startup business, but they've been very helpful, and I think it's cool. But the drag racing world needs the fastest ride along out of all motorsports.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, like
of
if
course.
We go, if our cars go the fastest, we should have the fastest ride along. So that's kind of where my pride
Yeah, and
pride
I like that line. You're doing a Top Fuel and not one of those damn door slammers.
Now, I have a question now. So where's the orientation? Is their head slightly above yours so they can see?
No.
Or are they just looking at the back of the cage?
No, they're in line. They're in. It's in a – there again, it was like a cool factor, you know, yeah. of having the car. But, you know, like we've got the car set up that you need to come over and check it out for
oh, absolutely,
once so you do
yeah.
it. But, yeah, we have different seat inserts and such so that we can get the person right to the roll cage, to, you know, whether they're small or large, whatever it takes to be able to get. And you really have a really good visual. You know, talking to Nick, you can still see, like, doing the burnout and backing up, the guy backing you up from the burnout and watching the tree come down. You see all
so
of that
it
going.
Feels like
but
you.
Who, are they sitting in front or behind you?
They're behind me.
Behind you.
Yeah.
So Larry's no dummy. He puts them by the motor.
yeah.
I wanted them up front so that, like, but insurance didn't dig that either.
I'll sign up right now. I will sign up right now.
When you look at the car, what's so cool about it is there's a dead steering wheel in there, but it is a Top Fuel steering wheel. So I was wondering
about
there,
that. If you
that's
have
your
controls.
Grab handle.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you can just like, yeah, man, I'm steering this thing. Larry's not doing nothing.
You should just write oh shit on that.
Yeah.
On the steering wheel.
You know, some people think, wow, well, why'd you put a steering wheel in? Well, I went in the IndyCar deal, and they don't. They've got handles on the side like that, and for me driving all the time, it felt unnatural.
Yeah.
So like we, you know, you put a wheel in there, and it's you know adjustable for you know for each rider and stuff like that, but. Yeah, you need that
yeah.
wheel.
Yeah.
That wheel's not just for steering. It's for hanging on.
Yeah. Oh,
I went for a ride in an F1 car. You know, the F1 car has, like, the big pontoons on the sides.
Yeah.
And it's a three-person. The driver's in the middle, and you sit in these pontoons. And it's cool, but, like, they kind of put some foam around you, but you're just in, like, a you know fiberglass shell, and there's really nothing to hold on to you. You're just kind of bouncing around like this. And it's fun to do it, but you're right. Like, they should have put some kind of little steering wheel or something so you can get an idea of...
Because you know everybody's going to turn it.
Yeah, because...
it's not moving.
Yeah.
I can't steer.
Let it move. Let it move.
Hey, Larry, let's do one of those 360s like you did in Australia.
Yeah,
right?
Hey, now, okay, so this is a huge experience. Let's say I was going to go and go for the ride, and, you know, I want to remember this. So are there cameras? Are there – what do you got in the cockpit?
Yeah, we've got replay cameras all over, you know, the front, back, my cockpit, their cockpit, the back of the car, the whole deal. And then that way, obviously, you can –
so that way we'd have a record of Aaron and Matt crying.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Hitting that light.
And they're really close, too, so you don't want to soil yourself or anything like that.
I was just going to say, okay, so that light idea.
Yeah. There's a smell.
You've got to have, like, an LED light that goes on so everybody knows. But then what you do is you make like a little squirter so when they get out their pants are wet. You hit the light, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you're going to run it eighth mile.
Get
it's really all about acceleration. I don't know what the top end is going to be. Do you know what like?
You run up to like 250 mile an hour. Only 250.
Only 250.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you're feeling good
that
day.
Eighth, man. I mean,
boom.
You know.
Yeah. On the ground, I haven't been that fast.
And think, he does it all the time. Yeah. It's like, yeah, no big deal. Yeah,
I know, there. But he's weird.
I've been 206 on the ground. Yeah. I've been 206
really?
On the ground, yeah.
The
Tahoe?
We'll blow right by that.
Well, not when I hit the ground.
That was in the Pinsgauer on an icy road.
Yeah, it's falling off a cliff.
No, that's really about 360s. Yeah.
So, Larry, the name of it is Nitro Times 2.
Yeah. We just, you know, until we did something, you know, we kind of just came up with it. Nitro, you know, and everything's Nitro, you know. There's so many things that are branded Nitro that aren't Nitro, you know, like we got the Nitro and it's, you know, times two. So,
yeah.
But the car, I'm so thrilled how the car came out. Murph McKinney built the chassis and he sits on the chassis committee with the SFI. So we did a lot of work on the front side, you know, doing on the computer and testing it and making sure that that it's safe, you know, that you could safe to do it. The tubing and the load and the stress on the tubing is actually safer than a conventional top fuel car. So
wow.
I was proud of that. You know,
awesome.
It's one thing for me to do what I do when I go down the track, but when you're taking somebody else and their life down the track, I put more, you know, more importance on their lives than my own. You know, I want to make sure that they have a great experience.
Is the dragster overall longer, or do you guys try to get a little closer, snugger?
Yeah, no. The cool factor you have in the car. Everybody that they recognize that, you know, from the cockpit to the front, how long that car is really needed. That visually, I needed that look. So it's a foot box longer than a standard car.
What about width? Did you have to compensate too?
No, all that is identical.
Really?
Yeah, and we literally took the drivetrain out of our conventional top fuel car, set it in this car.
Yeah.
And away we go.
I have so many logistical questions, but I know it's probably a business conversation. But I'm curious, too, because of the reliability of the motors. I mean, do you guys have to break the motors down all the time, just like you do?
You do, but if you're cutting it a little short, it's a little less on the engine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as far as stress and, you know, like wear on the crankshafts and such, it's, definitely less stress on the equipment. But you still need to service it like a real top fuel car because it's 10,000 horsepower.
Wow.
So,
I went back, Larry, and grabbed a couple of your cards.
He just sent me a picture.
So that they could see.
But Aaron doesn't have his glasses on today.
But what's so cool,
you know what's great? Look at it. When you look at it on the front, you almost don't even recognize.
Exactly.
You almost don't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From a little more three-quarter front view. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what's so cool about the car. When you guys go up and see it, is it's a top fuel dragster in every way, except for there's just one more little seat. Now, what would be really cool, here we are in the future. You've made this a huge success. You've got multiple cars. And what happens is, now insurance probably wouldn't dig this a whole lot, but we go back east to the multi-lane track, and you have two in each car, four lanes wide, and it's we have multiple
a grudge
drag
match,
racing.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You are really onto something here. I'm really excited for you. This is a big deal.
We put up a teaser video about the car, and just overnight it got 5,000 hits. So I was really proud of that, and got a lot of email requests for more information. So so far it's so good with it. You know, like we've got this great. I'm really thankful with Traxxas not only taking a chance on us and doing this, but they wanted to bring it to their booth and have it on display. It's like they have five booths just to be able to fit it in. It's not, the car's almost, with the wing and the wheelie bar and the front wings and all that, it's almost 40 feet long.
It's the only booth at SEMA where they actually have their vehicle sticking out into the aisleway with yellow tape around.
Yeah. Danny Thompson, they got the Streamliner here, and I think I could stack two of them.
That's hilarious.
So Larry, awesome. like Aaron said, you've been successful on the track, three-time world champion.
Yeah, I said that.
And now what I'm getting to is that now you step back, you looked at what would the fans like? How could I put these guys somewhere where they've never been able to go before? And this is innovation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where do they get to do it? Where can, if we wanted to do it, when can they do it and where?
It'll end up probably being at a racetrack near you, to be honest with you.
So watch your website.
It's going to take another year, though. They got their big promotion that they're doing right now, which will be fun.
And it will end up chasing the race fans around the country. You know, at this point of the year, it's winter time, so you're going to stay south of the 10 freeway most, and we'll go there. We're talking about putting an event together down at West Palm right now, maybe in December. So it's been a lot of good activity and stuff with the car, but it's But like going back to what you're talking about, thinking along the lines, it's marketing. And like when you're not in the grind of running 24 weeks a year, you know, chasing the points and winning and all that kind of stuff, you step back and you're looking for sponsorship and you're talking to companies. And it's like and everything is about marketing and being able to get those brands out there. And that, so your mind starts going and, you know, did I think I was going to do this? You know, 10 years ago, you asked me, no, 2 years ago, you might not, I might not have known this, but I think that to be able to get with your customer and your vendor, I mean, to actually take somebody and set them in a car like that, send them down the track. That's pretty much one-on-one marketing on steroids.
Yeah, no doubt. And you have to wonder, too, because of the current events in the past, we were so upset, you know, when you weren't driving that season and such. And for it all come to this, you wonder how much is meant to be. And, yeah. You know, it's like it's spawned
have a,
an
you're
amazing
have a fleet
idea.
Of these.
Yeah,
absolutely.
God's got a plan, you know.
Yeah, but Larry, you're going to have to reinvent the haulers now. Because right. If you have multiples, I mean, you know, these are going to have trains. Larry will have trains, yeah. Like the circus used to.
See the fleet of Nitro 2s running.
Yeah, you have all these really long trailers and stuff. Wow, how many cars you bring? And you're like, two.
Yeah, two.
Yeah. We have to put them together.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to put them together.
Yeah. So, Larry, you're doing this all out of Indy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, our race shop's based in Indianapolis, across the street from Force and Petragons and around the corner from Schumacher.
But you haven't stepped away from racing. You raced this last weekend. Tell us about that before we got to go.
Yeah. This year, not doing a whole lot. Ended up getting into Tony Bartone's alcohol funny car. Never even sat in a funny car, you know, on the ground with an engine running before.
Wow.
And you hop in this car with, you know, them cars are, you know, 4,000 horsepower. I mean, they haul ass. I mean, they're great cars.
Yeah.
And they are so different than a nitro-powered, top fueler or traditional funny
car. Were you a little thrown off being in a hard top?
It's got a dash. You know, like I'm looking for the glove box. You know, like it's, yeah.
Where's the drink holder?
Yeah. It's definitely different. So your steering input's different. And you're bringing the engine up. And, you know, a lot of the other classes that when they bring their engine up, they basically put it on the they take the accelerator and they can floor it because they have like a two-step is what's called, like a chip. And as soon as you like release the clutch, then it goes, you know, the electronics let it go wide open throttle. These cars, that's not allowed. So you like literally you're bringing this engine up to 7,000, 8,000 RPM, whatever, you know, racetrack you're at, and you have to hold it at that given RPM, and you can't move that around because that'll affect how much clutch and how much power when you swap feet. So you're swapping feet, and then you're shifting a couple times down the track, and it's I talk about like in the last 20 years of driving a top fuel car, there isn't one thing that applies from driving a top fuel car to getting in this alcohol funny car. You know, like other than the speed, you know, the speed of the car. The car runs 270 miles an hour, so that there wasn't anything like that overwhelmed me from a speed factor. But it was so different. So it's, you know, you're trying to play catch up because you're racing guys that like and girls for that matter that have been doing this for a real long time, and it's a great car. First weekend I got to go in the car, I ended up winning the race, so it was cool. And the other two, I went to Indy, Charlotte, and then Vegas. So like each week I went, you know, went two rounds at Indy, three rounds at Charlotte, got to the final round here at Vegas, and we had that one in the bag until we had a fuel line leak in the just reset.
Glove box door came open and threw him off.
reset the track record in the
muscle
semifinals.
Muscle milk spilled all over. You know?
Yeah. Well, congratulations on it. Yeah. So do you go? Do you have a funny car bug now, or are you like top fuel still where it's at?
Well, I think where I'm at is it's like for me. I would do either now.
You know whoever's got money.
But before there was like maybe a little bit of a known because I haven't done that, you know. And it's like you feel, you know, a top fuel car going down the track. It's like I literally feel like I could drive one of those blindfolded. You know, like you do it after 20 years, thousands of run down the track. And not doing funny car, there's a little bit of that unknown. Now, you know, heck yeah.
I do it, right?
Larry, we've been buddies for a long time. Don't drive one of those blindfolded. I know you think you can do that.
Yeah.
What about like a drag bike, boat, you know, space shuttle?
Larry, where can we find out if somebody wants to go find you online for this Nitro Times 2 ride-along top fueler?
Well, you know, you can go to our website, LarryDixon.com, LarryDixonRacing.com. If you want us to email you information, we've got a web address on there as well, but it's info@LarryDixonRacing.com. So,
yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
I'm looking at it right now. That's what it is.
And, so and then we're on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram
where can they
and all
find that?
That
do you want to tell them where to find your YouTube of the car?
At Larry Dixon Racing. So, yeah, we put up a video on the car on our YouTube channel. So you just go to Larry Dixon Racing and
there
we are.
Is.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
it. Nice. So if you want to go 250 miles an hour in
Heck
a top
yeah.
fuel dragster, just like – not just like Larry
If you want
Dixon,
to do it
with Larry Dixon.
Yeah. That's extra.
Yeah. Because he just said he was going to do it blindfolded.
Exactly.
I can see in like an Uber or a Lyft sponsorship.
Yeah.
Right?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You're standing there at the track next to the bleach box, and you just go – and Larry pulls up and he goes, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you see the nose of the car 19 minutes later. Later, the tail pulls
exactly.
up because he's going slow.
So where
That's
do you want,
a long
Where do you want to go? The other end of the track? Okay, hang on. Yeah. Let me set my Google Maps here.
Yeah. You get to the end and be like, that's $94.
Yeah, that's 7 seconds we'll be there. You know, at the shutdown area.
Yeah. And if you could hand me a bottle of water during the run, I'd be impressed.
Yes. Yeah.
Would you like to plug in your iPhone?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So
I'm gonna, for you,
charging.
I'm going to do that.
All right, cool. Yeah. I'm going to take you up on that.
Yeah.
So, hey, everybody, Larry Dixon, 3-time Top Fuel World Champion, and now the driver of the Nitro Times 2. He'll take you for a ride. This is Shift and Steer. Don't go away because we have more coming back right now with Jimmy Shine. We are back. This is Shift and Steer. It's the last day. We're still here on the MagnaFlow stage. But, you know, Larry Dixon was still up here with – he was up here with us a few minutes ago talking about that Nitro Times 2. We got to worm our way in, guys, and figure out how to get a ride
totally.
In this thing.
If only you knew somebody, Brad.
I know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
No, this thing – It's not cheap because
yeah.
I mean they're still figuring out the prices, and I heard them, and you know, but it's you know, Top Fuel dragsters cost a lot of money, and he's not detuning this thing. He wants to take it for a real.
Well, that's what I was
ride.
Wondering about
he'll
the motor maintenance.
He'll put
and
together
that's
a
big deal.
Good program, maybe get a sponsor in there, make the
yeah,
the
he's
rides
got
almost
some stuff going.
Maybe even do rides. I don't know, but
well,
I don't
you know what
plan,
he's doing.
Do
he's very smart.
If there's a sponsor that's backing him, you know.
Yeah, and he's very smart. One of the things that he's doing is they're getting corporations to do, like, you know, their building, you know, their where they get everybody together for, you know, team building and stuff.
Yeah, like a,
and so that's where that light comes in. So then when they get back to the office, they can go, did you see Jimmy hit the light?
With the light. He hit the wussy light.
But anyways, so hey, you know what? We're keeping going. We got another guest up here. It's none other than our buddy. He's been on the show many a times. We've even gone over to his open house and done a show. And that's Jimmy Shine from the Jimmy Shine Workshop. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing really good for a Friday.
Yeah.
And it's not shine. It's pronounced shame.
It's shame. Okay.
Only on shame. Only
all
on
these years, and I've been
that might catch
shame
on.
Shame on me.
That
I
might
know,
catch
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
You know
these headphones are quite comfortable,
aren't they? They're
these
cushy.
Are nice. I want to take these on the airplane. They're,
we opted for the ear massage models. Yeah. They're a little more expensive.
Jimmy, hot rod builder, but we're talking to Larry about going 250 miles an hour. You go fast. You have gone incredibly fast, just not in 2.5-3 seconds like Larry has, right?
No, that's what we were talking about, just how radically different land speed racing is to drag racing.
Mm-hmm.
Drag racing is just that violent burst of speed, that insane amount of G-force, and then it happens that fast, and then it's shut down.
And it's over.
Yeah. And that's and I've done some drag racing, of course, but my love is land speed.
Yeah.
And I just came back from Bonneville. Actually, I went out there with Wayne Jessel Valve Train Innovation, and ran his 2005 Dodge Crew Cab truck.
Wow.
That's cool.
So you were pushing the other vehicle?
So you let a land speed record of 87 miles an hour?
Eat it. Way to go. Yeah. Thanks, man. No, actually, the truck is incredibly fast. It's modified production. And believe it or not, that car with very limited aero, a truck, again, it's been 272 miles an hour.
Whoa. Pushing a brick, 272 miles an hour.
No, I didn't do that.
So how much did you have to duct tape, like, to keep it in place?
Duct tape. They've gone past that a little.
What's the fastest you've gone doing your land speed stuff?
240.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
you got a special hat you wear for that, don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
He's very proud of that hat, which he should be.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's another story, you know, into itself.
Yes, but
being the 200 mile an hour club is pretty amazing.
So what you're saying is that if we were to compare drag racing to Bonneville, it's kind of like rock and roll versus the blues. The blues cast keeps going, building up, going, and then you get your, you know, finale where rock and roll, it happens fast, it's violent, it's loud.
I've never heard that analogy before.
Well, I know, I just made it up on the spot.
You absolutely just made that up.
He had two cups of tea.
That's called Brad's mind after fireball shots with Dave Merrick last night.
Oh, now it makes
at Guy Fieri's. Yeah. At Guy Fieri's.
That's right. What do you mean last night? You meant this morning.
Yeah, this morning. You're right.
It wasn't that long ago. No, but it is. It's totally different. It's sustained high speed, and it's pretty spooky. You know, we're shifting that thing at 9,500 RPM. And you're banging a gear and hanging on to it, and wow!
What were you driving? What were you driving there? Were you doing 240? What kind?
Oh, that was
car?
Wayne Jessel's Roadster.
Okay.
Basically, it had a NASCAR motor in it and a 32 Ford.
Wow.
Yeah.
The real deal.
When you get to like the, you know, 3 mile mark or something like that, and you're really picking up some speed, does the car start feeling light? You know,
she starts moving. She just the course
gets wiggly.
Is 90 feet wide. You use all of it, and it's funny.
Really?
People say, oh, man, you're just going straight. No, that's the trick. Keeping that son of a bitch going straight.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, too, is I mean you drove the truck, but, I mean, on the Roadster, that's a built car. You know, it's not just a
– Oh, no, no. The truck is a built truck.
Well, yes. But my point is you don't get in a LaFerrari, you know, put some tape on the gaps and you do 2-0 something. You build a car from scratch with a bunch of buddies, and you go to Bonneville, and you go, you do it, you go all out. I mean, that's the real
levels.
Deal.
I mean, you do it with a bunch of buddies or whatever, but I mean, there's different levels of different vehicles, et cetera. But
I love it.
You know, we could get your rat rod out there.
I'd do it. I would do it. It would just rip itself apart. I would do it.
I mean, when it topped out at 54 miles an hour, dude, and that thing was dropping parts, you know, they'd go, get him.
I would love. I've
at
never
the end,
gone.
The whole thing would fall apart, like the end of the Blues Brothers and the cop cars. It's all pieces.
Or the end of Vacation.
But, yeah.
I've never been to Bonneville.
You haven't?
No, I know.
I haven't been either. I'm
almost embarrassed. I'm shrinking as we speak, but I always want to go, and I don't want to be a spectator. I really want to do it someday. That's
you know, actually, I think the best thing to do is to go out there as a spectator.
Well,
first,
of course, yeah.
Get a feel for the, you know, the lay of the land.
Yeah.
I mean, it explains a lot. I mean, I read books since I was a kid about Bonneville, and it wasn't until I actually went 20 years ago that it all makes sense.
Yeah.
It all fits.
When was your first visit out there? What year? You said 20 years ago?
Maybe not.
No, it was like 90s?
No. I've been racing El Mirage and all that.
Because the first time I went was like 96, 97. Yeah. And it's like you said, you read about it, you hear about it. But until you get out there and you get out on the salt and you realize it's just like it's a whole different world, you know?
It puts things into perspective.
Yeah, and the cars, guys, you know, these cars are going for top end, obviously. So, you know, push trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
And they start out and – you know, they start out slow, you know, and they're kind of,
and
so it's you know, it's really, let's face it, at the end of the day, Bonneville's not the most, you know, spectator friendly because you are miles away because you don't want a car spinning and hitting people. And, I mean, it's cool when you look at the top end and you see those cars just, but there's time in between and stuff like that. But
also,
it's very
like,
cool.
There's not like a Ritz-Carlton out there, right, where you can hang out.
There's a casino.
It's called Wendover. No, there's four or five casinos, okay. Mandalay Bay, Nugget, Rainbow. Decent enough hotels.
Yeah.
You know,
Pete used to tell us some great stories at Bonneville.
And
one of the ones I was fascinated by was how they shave the tires and the ratio of how much tread you take off to get faster and in the old days. And that I found absolutely fascinating because it doesn't seem like a real smart thing to do, but it's necessary.
Actually, think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's centrifugal
mass. It's rotating mass.
That's rotating mass. Yep. Exactly right. Well, the faster you go, the more it begins to weigh.
Yes.
So it actually a tire that has a lot of tread on it, this is a totally different element altogether.
Yep.
Again.
Exactly.
So by taking tread off of it or taking that centrifugal mass out of it, you increase the speed rating of it.
Yes. I mean, I find that absolutely fascinating.
You need to, like, the Mickey Thompson 500-mile-an-hour tires. I mean, you pick up a rear tire. All you feel is the rim. The tire weighs nothing.
Yeah. Wow.
It's because unsprung weight is your, you know, I mean, that's the biggest thing, man.
Yeah, that's what you're fighting.
Now, the SoCal cars that you guys had campaigned out there when you were with SoCal and over at Pete, you know, with GM. What was that? It was a – I'm trying to think of the little truck it was.
Well, it
wasn't a truck. It was – what was that called, Jimmy?
That SSR?
The SSR, yeah. And that thing, how fast did that go?
No, that was just – that was one of our push vehicles, believe it or not.
Okay, then it wasn't the SSR. It was the one that Canepa has now.
Oh, that's the HHR.
HHR, thank you. All these – letters.
Big difference.
Yes.
Not really.
It was a time. It was a time.
Now, that thing's amazing.
Yeah, that's a badass vehicle.
It was a competition coupe. It's chopped, full tube chassis, the Ecotec power.
Wow.
You know, turbocharged on methanol, making, 1,300 horse out of 122 cubic inches.
Wow.
And it's the only one in existence that looks cool.
that thing got destroyed, didn't it?
Well, yes. The first one, Jim Miniker was driving. That was 2000, I think, 5, and went through the lights, pulled the chute. The thing got some wind under it, and it took flight. And Robin Silk had built the chassis for it. And that thing just went through the 5, I mean, just over and over and over. And it was a really scary time.
I bet.
And patrols rolled up, look inside like, oh, my God, thinking, dude, there's no way anybody's going to live through that. There's Jim sitting there and flips open his helmet and smiles and waves. And they pry him off, gets out of the car. 20 minutes later, we're sitting there in the pits, and he's eating a bowl of ice cream. That was
with a concussion.
One of the best Bonneville stories I've ever heard in my life, and it's not even a racing story, and I think you know this one, Gray Baskerville. Hot Rod Magazine editor, Gray Baskerville, legend in this industry. And the very first time I ever went out there, he goes, now, Brad. He had a real high voice, because, Brad. He goes, now, when you go out there for the first time, he goes, you know, you got to take some suntan lotion. And I go, okay. And he goes, and at the hotel, he goes, kind of reach down in your crotch and slather everything up. He goes, because you're going to get your balls, they're going to get sunburned, because it all reflects off of the salt. And I was like, okay, Gray, too much information. But then I came back that night. The bottom of my nose was sunburned, and it was just like,
just your nose, Brad. Just your nose.
That's like Tahoe.
I accommodated in other ways for that.
Well, you just don't wear those short little baggy shorts.
Well, Gray would wear these big, and he always had his pit helmet on, out there, and he was awesome. He loved the salt.
Seen some real pictures. I've seen photos of characters.
What's going on in the shop?
Yeah.
Other than a giant louver machine, I think. I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah.
You guys are like so happy about that, by the way. It's like this giant machine. He's like, this is the coolest thing ever.
The funny thing is, it's like some Mittler Brothers stuff that I had bought, and then I kind of based the same plans, but I just kind of, added some decimal point, moved that, and added a zero over here. So I wanted to make it a little bit larger, and I changed the way that, I wanted the louvers, to load into the machine so I could swing a bigger piece. And so I did all the math, and it was all great on paper. And I started building it. I've got this really bitchin' Bailey fixture table. So it's all Blanchard ground. I've got all these bitchin' clamps. And so we built the thing in, pieces, built the spine first. As we started assembling all these larger parts and pieces, it dawned on me just how big this thing is. Oh, God, now we got this thing on this table that we've been sliding. I mean, it just grew. You say, how the hell are we going to stand this thing up?
Yeah.
So we used, it took 3 men and a boy and then an engine hoist just to get this thing to stand up straight.
Oh, man.
And it was a pretty spooky moment, quite honestly. But, yeah, the louver press, that's the new
one.
And
kids, they always really say cool. In high school, and all the kids go, I'm never going to use that math in life. I'm going to build cars. Need that math, don't you?
You need that math.
You need that math.
And I do my math like 3 and 4 times.
Well, yeah, you got to double check.
Geometry.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what are you building over there?
God, we're still working on that Jetstar program.
Okay.
And that's for Folds of Honor. It's being underwritten by John Beck of Progressive Building Services. So we're in the final build. So it's about ready to be coming apart. It's coming out beautiful. Pro Touring 1964 Oldsmobile Jetstar. It was a 9,000 original miles when we bought it from the second owner. I mean, original paint, original everything. It's one of those stories. You know, we took the interior out of it, and the floor pans were just perfect. And it felt just sacrilegious to cut them all out.
But then again, it's perfect. You don't have to do all that extra nonsense.
Oh, well,
it's
that's
original.
Exactly right. That's exactly yeah. right. It's kind of, you know, it's funny. The Oldsmobile is kind of, the Jetstar is like the bastard child of, you know, the 60s muscle cars. It's such a beautiful car. It's big. But, man, it's handsome. It's really, really
It's got
beautiful.
Those crisp, hard lines.
Yeah.
It's a cool car.
Excuse me.
Now, on that, when you take those floor pans out, is that something, I mean, even though it's kind of a different car, is it something you take your Miller plasma cutter, cut it all out, and then you put those floor pans up on eBay and sell them to some guy in Detroit who Jetstar is all
have.
Rusty?
I think we actually, you know, threw them, you know, in the trash.
Jeez. There's some poor guy back in Detroit or the Great Lakes States who's got one.
Hearing that.
If I could only, because there's no repo for this, if I only had some nice ones.
Yeah.
Jimmy Shine threw them away,
well,
man. You're, folks.
That happened.
Jimmy Shine just
Jimmy
sacrificed
shame.
That.
Jimmy Shame.
Shame.
Yes.
Jimmy Shame. Jimmy Shame. Jimmy Shame.
It's in the recycle bin.
Now, you've been working on a lot of Cobras for that one customer, too, right?
No, only one.
I thought he had a couple of them.
No, Dr. Ernie Nagamatsu. He owns
That's
CSX
easy for you to say.
Well, I've been practicing.
Okay.
How am I doing?
Especially
on a Friday.
Nice.
You nailed that. Nice.
After last night with you guys. No, he owns an original 1964 factory Carroll Shelby race car, CSX 2203.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Is it the white one?
Yeah.
I think we saw it at your open house.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we did.
I got a bunch of pictures
of it. It's gone through a couple different renditions. We've changed and we're able to do different stuff to update the car. You know, it's all FIA legal. Yes, he races that car all over the world.
That's fantastic.
It's awesome.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a $2 million car, and he's whizzing around the track, and he's just inches off the wall.
Yeah.
You know, my heart's about, you know, popping out of my chest. He's like, that's
It's like, I want the work, but I don't want the work.
Yeah. Like, I'll fix it. You'll fix it.
That's almost that actually just delivered to L.A. to their home last week. We're going to Willow Springs, I think, next week to do some test and tune.
Nice.
As we built a 306 FIA, you know, compliant motor, all iron, stamped steel rockers, mechanical cam, and we've got the original 48 IDA Webers on it from Bologna, Italy. That manifold, those carburetors, damn, it's wicked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jack Sacchetti.
It just gives you, it makes your hair stand up.
It's a badass car when we saw it. And I followed you, know,
it's gorgeous.
Like, in case you guys post your Instagram stuff and social media stuff and you can see some cool things or fire it up or whatever. I think
I've posted some stuff. You know, here we are at Magnaflow, and Magnaflow's been one of our big sponsors, and Rich Waitis has done an excellent job. I mean, he comes over to the shop. We talk about motors. I give him the whole profile of the motor, and he built and designed all the exhaust system for the Cobra.
Yeah.
Night and day. It was like waking a sleeping giant.
Oh, I bet.
Just the performance.
He nails it, man. He came out and did a few of our cars as well. And I think he actually, he came up, worked on one of our cars. We went to lunch. And then I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm going to drive home. Then I'm going to go to Jimmy Shame's place.
Jimmy Shame's.
Why do you have to say Shame? That hurts my feelings. I just made that joke. I didn't want you to run with it.
I warned you.
I went to Shine's place.
I warned you. Might stick.
Leading up to this, we're like, hey, we need to get some information about the booth. And he's like, sorry, I've been at Shine's place for 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was crunching down at your shop just before SEMA, right? Like, he was down there.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But I think just in the last year alone, I think we've done 6 of our vehicles all Magnaflow exhaust, and just Rich, phone call away, got a question, what do you think? Well, I'll tell you. And then he breaks it all down. It's like, listen, I'm just asking you what time it is. I don't need how to build the watch,
right?
Well, they have an amazing facility too. You went there, didn't you, Matt, and told us all about the facility?
Yeah, down south.
Yeah.
I toured Magnaflow and that new building. I was at the old building.
Yeah.
We did some stuff there and toured the new one. It's fantastic.
What were you doing? Buying something on Amazon there?
Yeah, he broke out a credit card.
Chris is checking out of the hotel, and then he asked if he can put all the booze we consumed in the room on my card.
The dirty movies in the booth.
He's literally like, they won't let me do it unless I can confirm the last 4 of your credit cards. So this is Chris just waking up. By the way,
multitasking live at SEMA.
I'll tell you about Backflow, but we. Okay. Chris wanted to go to the event.
It's like nobody listens to this show, do they?
Chris wanted to go to the event and see Billy and Michael and all the guys play. And then we met some people at the bar. And I was like, you still got to work, buddy. 2 a.m. He did like 2 hours of work to get the show posted.
Oh, last
like
four, night.
Yeah, he had to post it. I was like, if you go, you still got to work. And he's a super producer.
Matt goes, you still got to work. I'm going to bed. Turn it in.
Oh, yeah. No, I was in bed. I was sleeping. He was chomping away.
How is that show he posted?
it's good. He always does good.
So
Bagger Flow is fantastic. By the way, they have a huge warehouse of product, and they're so efficient that entire warehouse of product goes through and ships every month. There's no dust on their boxes over there.
Wow.
That's how detailed they are and how great their systems are.
You know, they better be careful because in the state of California there might be some kind of a lawsuit against, you know, they're discriminatory against dust.
Against dust, yeah.
So, I was wondering where you were going with that.
There's like 11 guys that run the
you
entire
lost
shipping
me like,
facility.
I don't know, yeah. 10 minutes ago. I haven't been even listening.
Brad's still drunk. You know, this isn't hungover. He's
might
still
not be alone.
I'm sorry. I just took it to a much higher brow level for you guys. And, you know, it's like, speaking of California politics, blending it in with Jimmy Shine's workshop.
Let's talk about cars and booze.
So
really?
We do have to wrap this up, though, unfortunately. But Jimmy, where can we find you online?
Well, so jimmyshine.com.
And on Jimmy Shine Workshop, maybe?
Well, that's like Instagram. I don't know.
That's
what
where everybody goes.
Company?
It's Jimmy Shine Workshop on Instagram. I'm gonna throw you a bone and help you out.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, is that what
and,
it is?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Because
I'm glad
you know,
somebody knows.
Yeah.
Go look at this giant louver machine.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
And you can probably find on our site somewhere Heather Storm doing louvers on his louver machine.
Oh yeah.
That's the old one.
That's the baby machine.
I know, but
that thing
she's
is
still
old school.
Doing them, man.
Are you calling Heather a baby machine? What? Dude, she's gonna slap you.
Hey, you know what? I think I saw her on some commercial for like.
She's on commercials for every
satellite.
Hey, yeah, you saw that. Like
Hughes Satellite. She's on an
was?
Insurance commercial. She's on, I mean, like about 20 of them.
And
right
I
now.
Sat there and went, who are you? Who are you really?
it's weird because you're watching a commercial and all of a sudden you go, oh, hey, that's Heather.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it's
and she's like, hi, I'm Jennifer. And you're like, no, you're not.
And she's like, these
liar.
Are my children. And you're like, you don't have any kids. Yeah.
These are lies.
Yes.
I don't believe anything I see.
Those
on TV.
Commercials aren't true.
No,
it's corporate media. They're just telling us lies.
I'm not calling HughesNet then.
Actor.
Next thing you know, we're going to see Jimmy Shine on some commercial. He's going to be going,
I'm Chip Foose.
Yeah.
Or he's going to go. He's
doing it all the time. Actually,
he's going to go. Hi, I'm your financial consultant.
Yeah.
And we're going to go. Wait a minute here.
So, I could be. I'm not any good at it, but Jimmy, that's
no,
never stopped
hey,
me before.
No, no, no. When somebody comes in plastics. And they go, I have a whole lot of money to spend, he goes, I'm your financial consultant.
Yeah.
You need to invest in this hot rod right here.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, hey, we got to wrap it up. Jimmy, thanks for coming by.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have Mr. Shame on the show.
God, oh, really?
Damn.
Yeah. Three.
That hurts.
I was hoping to keep two, but he hit the third one now.
All right,
third one what?
Let's go for
I'm
four.
Not doing the fourth one.
Gosh, you could tell he didn't stay
I
out
wasn't
late.
Out drinking
you
last night.
You didn't stay out late last night, did you? So, all right, everybody. This has been Shift and Steer live from the MagnaFlow stage. Thank you to them for having us up here.
Thank
and
you.
And our guest, Jimmy Shine from Jimmy Shine Workshop in Anaheim, California.
Or Orange County.
Well, we like to say Anaheim, California.
It says it right here.
Orange. CA. Orange Ca. Orange Ca.
Is it Canada?
Easy, Brad.
Are you
easy.
Still drinking?
All right, that's enough
hey,
for
I'm
Brad.
I'm Brad Fanchai, and with me here are my buddies,
I'm going
Aaron
home.
Hagar.
I'm going
that's
home.
That's me.
Yeah.
Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea.
Yes.
And Matt, where can they find us online?
At JimmyShine.com.
Yeah, at JimmyShine.com.
In Orange, CA.
Just go to Google, dial any of us up, and we're there.
Check us out at ShiftAndSteer.com, and you can listen to the show on iTunes, and tell a friend. We love it.
Keep your expectations low.
Yeah.
Hey, come on now.
Life is about managing expectations. Absolutely.
All right, everybody. Live from Las Vegas, it's a wrap. Thank you very much
Thanks,
for listening.
Guys.
Thank you.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.